welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humap. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, here we go. This actually is hour number four. Jerry, we've been here for 3 hours.
Yep, and 1 hour to go.
Well, 1 hour to go.
And then we're going to have to go home.
Well, I'm not upset about that. My wife is there.
Yes, but I will go home. They'll be waiting for me in the driveway, and we're headed out for lunch.
Okay, good. Good for you. You were thinking of maybe doing a little traveling, maybe heading to Leavenworth, or probably not today.
Yeah, not today. You know, I don't usually go places on the holidays. Yeah, because everything is crowded, and especially today with COVID. You really want to be in a big, big crowd.
Yeah, maybe
COVID.
Not.
No, no.
That's right.
So this is, you know, we'll go out for lunch. If it's not too hot and it doesn't look too bad, I'll probably run a few miles this afternoon.
Not good.
And, you know, settle in. Oh, and my daughter, my 8-year-old, is getting great at chess. And so every time I walk by, she's grabbing me and pulling me to the chessboard.
Okay.
So she loves to play chess with Daddy.
Oh, that is such a good game for her to learn. She's got a real advantage. Okay. That's good. All right. We were talking with Lois, ending the first hour.
Yes.
And I wanted to make the point. She said she was 91 and starting to have some, a little bit of cognitive decline, forgetting things and where she was, what have you. And I just want to make the emphasis again. 91. Hey, when you're 71, 81, 91, it doesn't matter. If you're not happy with your declining process, it's not too late to do something about it.
It's not. And actually, one of the studies that I am looking, I'm waiting anxiously to get the results from. There's a Mayo Clinic study being done on senescent cell therapies for cognitive decline for people with early Alzheimer's or minimal cognitive impairment. And I'm hopeful that that's going to show some positive results. So waiting for the studies.
Sure.
Waiting for the studies.
But there's a lot that can be done. And so don't give up.
Nope. That's one of the things I would love to add to someone like her if the studies indicate it's got a good shot at it.
That's right. All right. We do have some lines open. So if you have a question for Dr. Mitchin, you can call right now at 1-888-312-5757. Let's go to Renton and talk with Kathy. Hey, Kathy, welcome.
Listening to the radio.
I'm hearing people listening to the radio that should not be listening to the radio.
Yes.
Kathy, are you there?
Hi there.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi. How'd you know it was really Kathleen? 50-50, right? Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I recently, like last Tuesday, in fact, went for the health analysis thing. Uh-huh. And now I'm wondering, once I get the money together to get the blood work done, can you give me kind of an overview of what types? Okay, what do you guys do? How do you do it?
Okay.
Well, sure you are.
You are.
You would like to know what the next steps are, so he'll tell you.
Sure,
he'll tell you.
Got it.
Okay. Well, you know, we have done your in body. So we've looked at your fat and muscle mass. We've mm-hmm. looked at your average blood sugars, which give us some information. Mm-hmm. If we then go on to the next panel, we'll be measuring 8 different hormone levels. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at 3 different thyroid hormones. We're going to look at your testosterone, estradiol, pregnenolone, progesterone, dehydroepiandrosterone. We're going to evaluate you for insulin resistance. We will look at your peak and your low ends of insulin with a challenge test. We'll give you 75 grams of sugar. And 30 minutes later, we'll look at see how high your sugars went and how much insulin you kicked out to maintain that sugar level. Mm-hmm. And that will give us a good idea of how much insulin resistance you're suffering from at this point in your life. Mm-hmm. We will measure your inflammatory index. We'll do some basic genetic studies looking at your APOEpsilon numbers, which will tell us what your genetic predisposition for everything from Alzheimer's to hyperlipidemia is. And so we're going to put all of these numbers together and try to correlate them with your symptoms and your life up to this point. What problems have you had, and see if we see reasons for the issues you've developed. Then we're going to, as closely as we can, provide you with the endocrine support of a healthy younger person. Now, with men, it's simple. With men, we want to move them to a 25 to 30 year old level, even if they're 75 or 80. With women, if I move you really back to a 25 year old level, you will start to menstruate again.
Oh, no.
Some women get really unhappy about that. So with women, we have to move you to as close as we can to that without stepping over the line into active menstruation again. So I want to give you as many endocrine supports as I can, short of restarting your periods. Okay?
Great.
And we want to work at decreasing inflammation throughout your system. We want to alter your indices so that you make bone as quickly as possible, so you get stronger, thicker bones. I want to move your metabolism away from fat production towards muscle production. I want you to decrease your insulin resistance so that your sugars will come down with less insulin. And, you know, generally we're trying to get your body to function as well as it possibly can. Mm-hmm. We will do that first set of labs. We'll start you on a program. We'll then bring you back in 4 to 6 weeks. We'll measure everything again and we'll make an adjustment. Mm-hmm. And we'll bring you back in 2 to 3 months, and we measure everything again, and we make another adjustment. And we'll bring you back at least every 3 months for the next several years and fine-tune to get your body function, your brain and your body functioning as well as we can possibly manage. That's our goal.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. That really is. Can you do anything about my... It's funny because I used to be 5'4" and a half, and now I'm 5'1". I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
And Kathy, real quickly, try not to breathe into the phone if you wouldn't mind. It's a little. That's okay.
It's okay.
But go ahead, Jerry.
Well, yeah, and this is common. People typically shrink with age because those vertebrae in our back are stacked on top of these cushions. Okay, the intervertebral discs are kind of gel-filled cushions. And over the decades, two different things happen. As the bones thin, the vertebra get narrower and shorter, and the discs get compressed and flattened out. And that combination causes people to typically lose height. Okay? And that's not unusual. We probably will not be able to regain your height. What we do want to do, though, is keep your vertebra from collapsing. We do not want you getting compression fractures. We don't want you rupturing discs. So we are going to work on giving you as much muscle mass in around that spine as possible. Because in healthy young people, those discs and vertebrae don't just pound right on top of each other. They're actually floating in beds of muscle. And as we age and the muscles are getting weaker, everything settles down and starts to pound and sit right on top of each other. and I want to rebuild your core body strength so that those vertebrae are able to float again in muscle instead of pounding on each other. You know, I was six foot three when I finished high school. I'm now 73 and I'm 6'4".
Wow.
All right. But I have been on therapy for 22 years. Mm-hmm. No, 24 years. I started at 49.
That's right.
So I started it before my 50th birthday. So, you know, for 24 years, I have had the endocrine support of a healthy 25-year-old man. And that has given me some metabolic advantages that other guys my age don't have. So I didn't shrink. Okay.
Well, it was really encouraging because when I had the test done, the assistant asked me what my age was, and she goes, "Wow, you sure don't look that age. I just turned 70.
Well, good for you.
I know. That really made me feel good, so I got more impetus and incentive to get it going, baby.
You got it. Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you so much, you guys. And, yeah, I'll be there.
All right.
Take care, my dear.
Thank you, Kathy. That's good. You know, we're talking about she came to a free health analysis appointment, and you get the two free tests. You get the blood test. You also get the special in-body test as well. And from that, you're able to understand what some of your basic health risks are. Well, you're still not a patient. I mean, well, technically, for a few seconds you are, a few minutes at the appointment, but then you have a decision because now you have the information. Do you want to become a member of Longevity Medical
Clinic? Even before that, do you want to get the rest of the information?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
First step, get the rest of the labs, sit down with one of our doctors for a full hour, let them go over your labs and your history, tell you what they think they can accomplish for you. Then if you decide to become a patient, you do.
Right.
And if you don't, you don't.
That's right. So we just try to make it as easy as possible. That's why we do the free health analysis appointments. If you've been listening for a while, some of you here on 570 KVI since 1999, well, you'll know that we did seminars like for some months we were doing as many as six seminars a month. We probably averaged three a month for 22 years. Well, we don't do them anymore because they were wonderful. People love them. But
I miss them. I enjoy the performance.
And people love them, but it was getting so laborious and quite frankly expensive with hotels and advertising.
And now, of course, with COVID for the last
five nobody will come
months,
out.
I'm not going to put 300 people in a room.
That's right. So now we do the free health analysis appointments and, we basically do at least some initial testing and measurement for you. But, that's your first step. It's not a big step. We even incentivize you by offering you two things. Now you got a decision to make. You can either receive $100 of free longevity supplements or you can get our two free fitness books that are excellent, by the way. We wrote them, produced them, published them, and our free fitness bands. So either the $100 of supplements or the two fitness books and the fitness bands just for making a free appointment with the two free tests. So it's kind of a no-brainer, which is why for the rest of September, we are down to only 12 available appointments in Kirkland and 15 in Linwood. We have none available in Tacoma. So if you would like to snatch up one of those free health analysis appointments, you need to do it very, very soon. These are available through the end of September this month. Okay. And you do that by going online at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. You just push on the tab that says make an appointment. And you make an appointment. Easy to do. It'll take you like 2-3 minutes. LMClinic.com. All right. When we come back, we've got some calls to take. We've got a question about can you get vertigo from taking too much vitamin D3? I've not heard of that, but that's an interesting question. And we've got others. Someone wanted to know about, do we have to refrigerate omega-3s? How much fish oil can I eat before I get selenium poisoning? Well, okay, lots of reasons to come back. Lots of reasons to make your health analysis appointment at lmclinic.com. Don't go far.
I fly for a living, and I change in time zones and all this other stuff, and getting colds, and when I get a cold, I can't fly. I thought, well, let's give this a shot. I started taking the supplements, and I noticed less colds, so I'm just working, you know? So then I thought, well, let's try the rest of it. But for us, it's a big improvement, and that's why we stay with it.
Okay, I was wrong. The fellow with the question about fish, he called back and corrected me.
Uh-huh.
How many cans of tuna fish can I eat before I get selenium poisoning?
I'd worry more about mercury poisoning with tuna.
Okay. So, yeah, I thought it was about salmon, but tuna, so...
Yeah, but it's... The heavy metal that we usually worry about in tuna is mercury as opposed to selenium.
Is that still a problem? You go down, you buy bumblebee tuna. Is there a problem? Do you eat tuna?
Rarely.
Yeah?
Rarely.
Because of the concern?
No. No. It's my waistline.
Oh, okay.
If I'm going to eat tuna, I usually do it, mixed with a lot of mayonnaise.
Of course.
A little bit of chopped pickle.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Put it on
sweet
big,
pickle,
thick,
not dill.
Yeah,
sweet pickle.
Big, thick slices of yeah. A rich grain bread. It makes a wonderful sandwich, and I get fat so fast from it.
Okay. Okay. So. But we shouldn't be too concerned about a can of tuna.
No, I'm not concerned about a can of tuna. The problem, I guess, is many of the predator fish, and tuna is a predator fish. Tunas are great big fish that eat other fish.
You bet they do.
And so, the bottom of the food chain are the little tiny critters, and each generation above that eats the one smaller than that, and the heavy metals build up and build up and build up, and so you get... mercury and arsenic and selenium. It is a metal. And selenium poisoning is very similar to arsenic poisoning in symptoms. The hair loss, the white streaks on the fingernails, and so on. So you can get selenium poisoning, although I have not heard it from tuna. Like I said, most of the literature refers to mercury as opposed to that. But, if you want a tuna sandwich a couple of times a week, it doesn't worry me at all.
Okay, other than getting fat.
Just watch what else you eat and keep moving.
Yeah, my wife used to say, well, just put tuna and eat it dry. No, thank you.
No.
It does nothing for me, and no. It's not going into my mouth.
No,
not happily.
Nor do I go down to Pike Place Market and gnaw on the raw fish. And sushi does nothing for me.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of...
It's usually the accompaniments to the sushi that people appreciate. Well, yeah, they dip it in sauce, whatever. Here we go. Let's go to Brennan and talk to Will. Hello, Will. Welcome.
Hello, Will.
Yeah, hi. I'm here.
Yeah, sounds like you had your phone in your pocket or something.
Let's go.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to be up next. I got a question. In the first part of your first program, you were talking about metformin, and I thought I was on the road. We couldn't hear very clearly, but I thought you said that it's been associated with dementia. And if so, how can it be? Since it's something that simulates.
Let me. Yes, and I misspoke, and I corrected that. About
30 seconds later.
30 seconds to a minute after I said the word metformin, I said, oops, sorry, I meant metoprolol, not metformin. Yeah, metoprolol is associated with advanced or increased speed of cognitive decline. Metformin is just the opposite. Metformin is a SIRT1 inhibitor. It is associated with longer, healthier, more robust lives. Even in type 2 diabetics that are on metformin live longer than non-diabetics that aren't on metformin. And so I am not a diabetic at all. My sugars are in stupendous range, and yet I take metformin twice a day, every day of my life, because I want my sirtuin-1 inhibition done properly, okay?
You take 500 milligrams twice a day?
I take 500 milligrams twice a day. That's what Dr. Mixon says. When I get up in the morning, usually about 6, and when I go to bed at night, usually around 10.
Oh, okay. And does the effect on the SIRT1 system, is that a stimulating some gene, or is that...
Yes. It actually alters genetic expression. And, it seems to improve health span. People tend to stay healthier longer.
Great. Appreciate the answer.
Big thing you want to watch for, though, is make sure you have enough vitamin B intake, because... metformin can lower vitamin B absorption.
And with that, we will move on to Doug. Hello, Doug. Welcome to the show.
Hello. About three, four weeks ago, I started taking some more vitamin D3. Mm-hmm. And they recommended that for the first week, take 2 of the fast melt tablets. Each tablet was 5,000 IUs.
Okay.
I did that for about 3 weeks, and then the next couple days, I took either 3 or 4 because I wasn't feeling that well, and I thought, okay, it's supposed to help with, the inflammation. Well, if it was 4 tablets, that's 20,000 IUs.
That's a lot, yeah.
And the next day, when I got out of bed, I was like a drunk man.
Ah,
okay. You know, and I'm just wondering if that's coincidence.
Well, I don't know what your blood levels were, of course. You know, vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, and so it is taken up into our fat cells. And what we're really interested in is what is your circulating 25-hydroxy vitamin D level. We're usually shooting for a circulating 25 hydroxy vitamin D between about 60 and 90 is my target range most of the time. Mm-hmm. Generally, vitamin D is associated with decreasing the risk of positional vertigo. Paroxysmal positional vertigo is very common in people with low vitamin D. And usually the way of getting rid of it is to raise their vitamin D. But you were taking a heck of a lot in a short period of time. And, I don't know where your blood levels went.
Well, the reason I was was wondering if it had to do with vertigo is 2 years ago, I started taking some vitamin D. Uh-huh. Same people. And... I ended up at a urgent. I went into an urgent care clinic because I was dizzy, and they checked everything, and they said, okay, this is vertigo. Take this prescription, and if it doesn't go away, then go see a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Well, I took the prescription. It did a little bit of good, but it was still there. And then I didn't go see a doctor, and it went away. But I also stopped taking the vitamin D3. That's why I was just beginning to wonder if there's some association there.
Well, and there may be. You know, one of the problems we've got in medicine is what we refer to as idiosyncratic reactions. Mm-hmm. We know pretty well what usually happens when most people do something. But there are always people, the small number of outliers, whose body just reacts very differently from what the rest of us do. And we call that an idiosyncratic reaction. Typically, we use vitamin D to get rid of paroxysmal vertigo. And paroxysmal vertigo usually clears. It'll be there 2 or 3 days, and then it fades away. But it's most common in people with low vitamin D, and with robust vitamin D levels, most people don't get it. But you know, you just might be one of those oddballs who the good Lord produced, you know, your brain and body in a slightly different pattern than the rest of us. There are those folks, you know.
Yeah.
So what can I tell you?
One thing I've learned in all this is I learned years ago that you can't take herbs. Some people were saying, well, it's just like food, you know, just. And I was talking to this one doctor, and he says, absolutely not. Herbs are medicine.
Yes.
Well, I had not associated that same kind of thing with vitamins. That if you mix the wrong mix, then you can have problems.
You can.
Is that correct?
Yes, you can. And in this case, Gory, you're using a bit of a misnomer. We call vitamin D a vitamin. It isn't. It's actually a secosteroid. Yeah. Vitamins, by definition, are things your body can't produce. You can produce vitamin D. So it doesn't fit the definition of a vitamin, even though we always call it that. But like all steroid compounds, including the vitamin D, have a real impact on brain function. Okay, these are neuroactive chemicals, like all other steroids. And so when you tell me you got vertigo, you got dizziness, it would be very unusual, but I certainly can't rule it out and tell you it's impossible because it does alter brain function.
Yeah, well, I was beginning to think, okay, why don't I just do one 5,000? Okay, they were recommending 5,000 units. Because most people don't have enough.
In this Pacific Northwest, that's true. But what are your blood levels? Who's measuring your serum levels? Because that's really what you want to know. I'm less concerned with what goes in your mouth than what's in your blood. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, 2,000 a day is enough. Some people need 5, some need 7, some need 10. And if you're not measuring, you're doing it blindly, and, you know, you can be hurt. You can get toxic from too much vitamin D.
Yeah, well, I heard that last week when you and Pete were talking about you're on 5,000 and he's now on 7,000.
Yeah,
right.
And we have patients that are on 10 and 15 and a few on 20. It depends on how that individual is metabolizing it, and that's why we check vitamin D levels a minimum of twice a year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've answered my questions.
All right. Take care, sir.
Excellent call. That, by the way, opens up a line, and that means for the next 27 minutes, we have all the lines open. That means you call right now. Boom. You're next. Call us at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. We'll be right back.
About a year ago, I was bent over like an old man. I could barely stand up straight. Real heavy back pain. I dreaded going out to the mailbox. It went for like 6 months or so. So I started taking Relief Factor. I also, at the same time, joined the longevity program. Within about a week, the back pain was all completely gone and everything. No more pain. The Relief Factor was working, and my back wasn't painful anymore.
You remember this song, Jerry Burke?
No.
Jerry Berg went crazy, I think.
I've never heard this song.
No, it was big in the 60s.
Well.
But it's a little bit different. That was a shocker, but that's all right.
Who was that?
Oh, I can't remember.
Singing falsetto.
Well, I can't remember who the author is or the singer was, but whatever. That's okay. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, we have room for one or two more callers. We're going to go to Maddie and Everett right now, but if you've got a question for us, you call right now. We'll get you on right after we talk to Maddie. The number to call is 1-888-312-5757. Maddie, welcome to the show.
Hello, Maddie.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
We're fine.
Good. I normally don't ask that. I'm nervous, so that's why I said that.
Okay.
You know, everybody says that. Anyway, I do not remember that song either, and I'm from the 60s. I mean, I graduated in the 60s in high school, that is. So, I don't remember it either, Dr. Mixon. So,
okay, well, good.
Crazy Jerry Bird. Okay, so actually, I'm going to try to sneak in two questions. The first question, which I told the screener, has to do with something you mentioned in the first show between 8 and 10. Has to do with, let me see if I can remember. Dementia, yes, I remember. So I'm on two medications, and it's really all about not being able to sleep and being extremely sad in the last month from just grief, loss of, not through death, but just moving out of a young adult daughter who moved out very late 20s, but, you know, inseparable the two of us were. And so I went to my doctor, and she didn't move out of state or anything. That's not it. But so I'm just alone. I'm a single mom alone. So the doctor prescribed something called Escitalopram, and I guess it's Lexapro. And you know, now I don't feel like crying every morning, which is good. And it's also supposed to help me, sleep, and it does, but it doesn't. And it's a low dose. It's like 10 milligrams. And, you know, I was told it's okay. That's like really, 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 really a low dose. And I'm going, okay, but I want it just to start my serotonin and then be on my own with a serotonin production. And then the other medication I'm taking is trazodone, which, you know, these two drugs, they just push and prescribe because guess what? My daughter takes them too for different reasons. I mean, she's like, I don't know, maybe bipolar or she has some eating issues. But, you know, they're not making her see a therapist. But that's her problem, and I'm calling about my problem. I didn't break her, so, I mean, I can't fix her. The trazodone I'm on is 50 milligrams, but I've been trying to titrate it. So these two medications help my mood a bit, and, you know, I see a little bit better in me feeling. But on the other hand, my sleeping is still not great, okay, because of pain. And that's why I need to see Dr. Nelson about PRP, I guess. So the pain wakes me up in my knee and my foot. I'm a mess. Okay, I'm sorry, and I sound really crazy right now. But I am worried about my losing, you know, my brain because of these two medications. Are these in that category?
No. That's the good news. No, these are not anticholinergic drugs. You know, you've got an atypical antidepressant, and you've got a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. So, two different drugs work by two different mechanisms. Both are frequently used for depressive disorders. The question is, how long are you going to take them, and what else are you doing to alleviate your moods? And you know, part of this is hopefully going to be getting rid of your pain. Although depression makes pain worse, and pain makes depression worse. It's a destructive loop. Pain causes depression. The depression makes you more sensitive to pain, and round and round and round it goes. Hopefully, Dan will be able to help some of that by decreasing the discomfort. But then we need to say, what else can you do besides medications that you don't want to take for the rest of your life? Because they do alter your sensorium, your ability to concentrate, etc. I would rather you slept well at night because you were physically tired. But it's hard to get you physically tired if your joints won't let you exercise and be physically active.
I know. That's exactly a problem of mine. Yeah, foot hurts and knee hurts, and all on the same side. So if I chopped off the left side, everything would be fine, right?
Well, no, but when they if we can get you your vaccine and they'll open up the swimming pools, you know, you will be able to exercise in water and fatigue yourself, even without, you know, trotting down the trail. So that's part of it. The trouble is right now the pools are all closed. But as soon as you can, you need to get on a good exercise program. And part of that can be something as simple as an exercise bike where you, depends on the bike and how high the seat is.
For me, my knee and my ankle are fine on an elliptical. Yes. I can't do the treadmill. But the elliptical, because it doesn't jerk me around.
It doesn't pound. Yeah. And bicycles are hard on knees if the seat is too low and you have to flex it too far.
Right.
But if the seat is high enough so that the motion is less extreme in the knee, many people do better that way. So there are things you can do. And also there are things you can do such as rowing, getting on a rowing machine. You know, using some of the upper torso things so that you're fatiguing your upper body muscles. So your abdomen, your back, your shoulders, your arms are getting good exercise. That's also fatiguing. It doesn't have to all be running or jumping. So protect your lower extremities and use your upper extremities instead.
And the extra 10 pounds I've gained since the COVID thing and the depression thing is probably not helping me either.
No, it is not, and it needs to come down. So, yes, you need to get on a good diet program. But, you know, physical activity helps with diet, too. Although men have an advantage over women. Yes. Most men, 8 out of 10 men, vigorous physical activity lowers our appetite. We actually lose our appetite if we exercise hard. With women, it's 60% exercise increases their appetite and 40% it lowers their appetite. So
that's really not fair, is it? That's not fair.
Who said biology was fair? You know, biology just is, and it does not give a damn about what we think or want. It just functions. And so we have to, you know, we have to take it into account and use it. But you've
so are you
got,
saying I can lose my sadness if I do exercise and if I have better sleep?
Exercise has been shown repeatedly to be as or even more effective than antidepressant drugs.
Those studies have been telling that true story for 20 years.
Decades. We have, ever since the serotonin reuptake inhibitors came out, we have done study after study showing that physical activity is as or more effective than the drugs at lowering depression.
And let me just also share, I won't go into all the details, but for 27 years, I was one miserable. You've heard Jerry talk about me, and I've shared my story. Yes. The one thing that literally helped the very most was an anti-inflammatory diet and dealing with the inflammation. And holy cow, I haven't had a moody day in 7 years now, Jerry.
Yep.
Not a moody day. And it was, I lived with it for 27 years. So that doesn't mean that's your total answer.
But it's true
that it was for me.
Interestingly, all of the anti-inflammatory drugs are also antidepressants. The problem is that the anti-inflammatory drugs have significant side effects and will often cause gastrointestinal problems and cardiac problems and stuff. So you have to be careful with them.
But the naproxen, that's an inflammatory medication.
And it also tends to alleviate depression. You know, we use relief factor, which we use for inflammation and joint pains and stuff. Some people report significant mood improvement on things like relief factor, even though that's not what it's designed for. That's not what it's sold for. Some people find that it improves mood.
I was one.
So, you know, so anything that's causing inflammation can have a depressive effect on mood. And of course, things that are causing pain are usually inflammatory processes.
Yeah, the blood test showed that my inflammatory, what are the three initials for that? ASR or ESR or I have no idea now. dementia. Whatever shows my inflammatory number.
You think it's CRP.
Elevated.
Yeah, CRP, complement reactive protein. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Crap. Okay, I'm sorry. So that's kind of elevated. That's not a swear word, is it?
Even if it were, I spent years as a paratrooper. You couldn't ask someone to pass the salt without dropping three F-bombs. I mean, it's the culture. So
that's funny. So it does show in my blood that I'm inflamed everywhere.
Yes.
I guess.
And inflammation increases pain. It increases depression. And getting rid of the inflammation has a good chance of decreasing your depression.
Boy.
So the food that makes my mouth feel good and my taste bud dance is very temporary, and then it just has long-term bad downside in my body.
Go to our website and go to the
blog?
The blogs, I guess,
yeah.
There's an old blog I wrote probably 10 or 12 years ago called The Anti-Inflammatory Diet.
Okay.
And that anti-inflammatory diet will give you some clues about how to change your eating to decrease inflammation.
And I dare say, Maddie, we've got to go to our next caller, but let me just say that making one of our free health analysis appointments is always a good idea to start getting control on some of these things, and we'd love to see you do that. We need to move on. And before we take another caller, I just want to, I don't want to forget, I've been sharing about how busy we have been at Longevity Medical Clinic. Over the last 3, 4, or 5 months, people are starting to wake up and realize that there's never been a better time to get serious. I mean, really serious about your health. I mean, for obvious reasons. And we are busy. We are continuing to grow. We are needing new staff. And so if you are interested in a job, quite frankly, if you would like to work with us here at Longevity Medical Clinic, we have some openings. We need people in the reception area. We need medical assistants, MAs. We actually need another doctor or two. We are growing, and this is a wonderful, wonderful place to work, to watch what happens when you start dealing with the aging process the right way, staying on the leading edge. So if you would like more information, you can send your information and inquiry to, here's the email address, hr@longevitymedicalclinic.com. HR, that stands obviously for human resources, HR@longevitymedicalclinic. And let us know if you're available, and we'll reach back out to you, and you can find out about the various positions. I know, for example, in the Kirkland, we need a receptionist, we need an MA, and so there's lots of things available because we're growing, and it's a very, very good thing. You'd love it here. Again, just reach out to HR@longevitymedicalclinic.com. Let's go to Woodinville and talk to Stacy. Hey, Stacy.
Hello, Stacy.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I was listening in on the previous call, and, you know, I had 7 years experience with the mental health profession and them giving me all kinds of drugs from Zyprexa to you name it. And, oh, my God, it was 7 years of a mess. So I learned my lesson. I don't go back to mental health for anything.
All right.
But I do have an issue here where I have a massive amount of hair loss going on. And, you know, I've hit the, I'm over 50 now, and I just, it's like I've hit a brick wall. Just, you know, no energy, low energy, you know, and the medical profession, what they want to do is they just want to examine my innards, if you will, through, you know, a colon cancer, things like that. And it's like, I just don't feel that it's solving the problem with the hair loss, with the low energy, the fatigue, you know, exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, for colors out there like me, where you're having just this massive amount of hair loss, and then the most the medical profession does is send you over to a dermatologist who gives you this cream, and it doesn't do anything.
Yes.
You're at a loss. You're at a loss of what to do. So what do you suggest?
50% of women by age 50 have significant hair thinning. That's just a fact of life. And it has several causes. Part of it is thyroid change. Part is hormonal declines. And part of it is just aging. But the good news is there are things that can be done about it. We actually have a hair restoration program at Longevity that is designed specifically for women in midlife. And what we do is we bring you in, we do magnified photographs of your hair follicles and take a look and see how many miniaturized hair follicles you have. Because the hair shafts that started out thick tend to get thinner and thinner and thinner, and eventually those follicles stop growing hairs and they kind of become quiescent. And the goal is to wake them up before they die. They will survive for several years after they quit growing hair. But eventually, if you don't do something, they will wither up and die on us, and then they can't be brought back. So we can resuscitate, but not,
can't create.
Cannot, that's right. So anyway, we can help. And what we do is we evaluate it. Then, if you're an appropriate candidate, they start by doing PRP injections. They'll draw your own blood. We spin it down. We get rid of the red and white cells. We concentrate the serum. We concentrate the platelets at the bottom. Those platelets contain 9 different growth factors. We then give you some nerve blocks or some local anesthetic, and we inject your entire scalp. You may end up with 200 or 300 small injections going down just a few millimeters towards the bottom of those hair shafts and put the growth factors at the base of the hair. And then the next 2 months we bring you back and we do microneedling, which is putting the PRP in the superficial layers of the skin. And then we do another series of deep injections and then 2 more superficial. So it's a 6-month program. But we get very, very good hair growth in women that are having midlife thinning of their hair. So it works in the vast majority of people. So that's that part. Now, that doesn't take care of your energy levels. That doesn't take care of your mood. But we have other stuff we do that. But since you were specifically talking about hair,
that's right,
I decided to expound a bit on the hair thing.
The other symptoms that she was talking about sounds like she should consider at least.
Yeah, typical
longevity.
Well, she sounds like the typical longevity patient. Midlife, fatigued, low energy, tired, decreased sexuality, and all of that is fixable. So, are you still there, young lady?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I am. Thank you for going over that with me. I was just thinking, you know, I'm pretty sensitive. I'm a ginger, so I'm pretty sensitive. So I was wondering,
when it comes to needles? Do you numb things up or?
Yes. Yeah, we numb. Yeah. No, no, okay. we can numb things up. We also have the nitrous oxide, you know, the laughing gas. So
you speak my language. That's it.
That's all you have to say. So we'll get you a little laughing gas. We numb up your head and just do what needs doing.
That's right. Okay, anything else, Stacy? Thank you.
Okay. Take care, young lady. Bye bye.
I relate to what Stacy said about the health community. When I suffered with depression for 27 years, my psychiatrist, whenever I mentioned, could there be something physical, you know, some nutritional component?
No, it's all because you had a conflict with your mother or your third grade teacher or your whatever.
Yes. But they kind of snarked at me, literally.
Yeah.
Snarked at me.
And it was physical.
Yeah.
Fix the physical.
They said, no, we'll figure out that we just need to find the right drug and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
27 freaking years. Yeah. And so I sympathize with her frustration there. All right. I am afraid we don't have time to go to David. He had a question about supplements. But David, would you call us back next week?
Early in the show.
Early in the show. I am so sorry. I always hate leaving somebody online. But let me just say this. If you've been listening much today, and we've been on for 4 hours, 2 hours here on 570 KBI, you've heard example after example of people who, and reasons why Longevity Medical Clinic could be of real specific help to you. Our encouragement is don't fall, don't develop that fatalistic attitude that you've got to fall apart like everybody else, falling apart on schedule. And when your doctor says, when you talk to him about your symptoms that you're not happy with, and he just says, oh, that's normal for your age.
Tell her normal's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable. And that's what longevity is all about. We do the free health analysis appointments. That's a baby step. It's the first step to figuring out your aging process. So let us do that for you. Schedule your own. You get the two free tests, the blood test, and the free in-body test, the special in-body test. Plus, in September, you'll also get your choice of either $100 of longevity supplements or the two fitness books that we wrote, the two fitness books, and the fitness bands for exercise. Your choice. To make your appointment, you simply go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and schedule your appointments. They're for the last week in September, but they're there for you at lmclinic.com. Have a wonderful rest of your Labor Day weekend. Blessings to you. We'll see you next week.